did yourself today? You know, I don't know who had a New Year's resolution of, I don't know who decided we're going to get in shape today, but it started here. That first set was unbelievable. Listen, can I skip a lot of things? Can I just skip the front part of my message, kind of introductory? You see what if up here. I'm teaching, preaching a series of sermons this whole month, and it all starts with what if. We're going to answer that question. And if it's okay with you, without a bunch of fluffy introduction, I would just like to get to where I'm going to preach today. The Holy Spirit's already done a wonderful work, and I'm not going to compete with that whatsoever. But I believe there's some things that He wants us to do as individuals that will be collectively involved as us as a church later on. And I'll address that at the end of the month. I don't know what you want to be different this year. You know, it's always that turning point when you go into a new year, whether you call it New Year's resolutions or just expectations. It's a wonderful time. I don't know why, but it's a wonderful time when that calendar goes from December over to January that you go, you know what? How about why don't we do this? Why don't we do that? And whether it's in your own mind, you're thinking, hey, I'll lose weight this year, I'll spend more time with the family, get physical fit, you know, whatever it is. Maybe there's a habit you want to get rid of. I got to tell you, those things come and go, don't they? But I just want to tell you, here's what the what if for today is. What if I really embraced God's Word and became a person of prayer? Think about that with me just for a second. What if? Now, the reason that that's a question is because it demands an answer. What if I really embraced God's Word and became a person of prayer? And I try to think of a lot of different ways how to present this, and I'm going to tell you, there are some fabulous things out there, sermons that have been preached and just quotes and all kinds of stuff that encourage us about the Bible and prayer. But if it's okay with you, I just wanted to tell you why I embrace the Bible, why I read the Bible. I want to be careful because that word embrace is just, in my mind, such a different picture than read the Bible. You know, I don't want to sell anybody today on let's read the Bible. If you're looking for a new bump in your Christianity, if you need something, reading the Bible is good, but to embrace it is wholly different. If I meet someone and I greet them and we exchange names and that type of thing, I've met them. But if I embrace them, then that means I'm welcoming them into my life. I want to hear more. I want to know you. Let's spend some time together. So that's where I want to go tonight. I mean today, okay? Here's why I read the Bible. Number one, I need to, duh. I mean, everybody needs to read the Bible. When you got saved, somewhere in there, probably somebody said, you know what you need to do? You need to get a Bible. You need to start reading the Bible. You need to start praying. You need to find a place of fellowship, and on and on and on. But, I know I need to. Let's get past that. You know what? I want to. I want to. When I first got saved, someone gave me a living Bible. It was a paperback, and you know how teenagers are. Man, that thing went everywhere. I started losing place, duct taped that thing together. But you know what? It just spoke to me. I had never read the Bible. I'd gone to church with my mom in this Catholic setting, but I'd never read the Bible. My first Bible study, I asked my mom, I said, I got to go to a Bible study. I don't have a Bible. I hadn't had this living Bible yet, so she gave me a Bible. Can I just tell you, the Catholics have a little more in their Bible than we do. And I couldn't find anything. They would say, go to so-and-so, I didn't know there was a New Testament and an Old Testament. But I do know one thing, that as I began reading it, there was something happening in my life. I'll tell you the truth. When I first started reading, and I know I've shared this before, I started in the Old Testament. When you read a book, you start at the front and you go to the back. I started reading, and God was killing everybody, and I couldn't pronounce anybody's names, and I wasn't getting anywhere. And I was just going, man, this is not encouraging. And I had a friend of mine, he's just bubbling. He's just going, he's all excited. And I'm going, dude, what are you reading? And he goes over there, he's in the New Testament. I said, that's like the Cliff Notes, man. You can't cheat like that. You have to, and I did not know there was an Old Testament and a New Testament. And boy, I got in the New Testament, and I was just buzzing. First Bible I ever bought beyond that living Bible was this Bible that had all of, in the margins, it had all of these little things where you could go to another place and mark that. I would start on one subject and end somewhere else because I wanted to read the Bible. I embraced the Bible. Let me read to you Proverbs 4. It says, my son, Give attention to my words. Welcome to the rest of my sermon. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your ears. Keep them in the midst of your heart. And here it goes. Because they are life to those who find it, and health to all their flesh. Man, when I got a hold of that Bible, I began to research it and I didn't even know it. I began to discover things that I'd never known before. And it opened up so many things. And today, what if you and I really embraced the Bible like that? I want to read the Bible. Listen, I'm not going to tell you that I am the perfect example. I'm not here to tell you that I do it better than you. Forget those comparisons. I'm just telling you as an individual today. Because this is what this service is all about. This is not about us as a church. We'll talk about that at the end of the month. But this is about as an individual. I want to embrace this thing. I want to read it. The second thing is this. It's my guide through life. Time and time again, it has told me what to do. It has guided me. It has shown me. It is just literally just been a light in the place of darkness. Very famous verse of Scripture, Psalms 119. Your word I've hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. How many times have I wanted to do this and I knew it was wrong? And it wasn't that I memorized something necessarily, and it wasn't that it just popped up like a barrier in front of me, but there was just something that the Bible put in me that told me at that moment, this is wrong. And sometimes it's totally obvious. I mean, man, this is so wrong, it's pitiful. And sometimes it's a feeling when I'm over here and I'm in this crowd and something happens and God just gives me that urging of the Holy Spirit. I wouldn't have that without what I've read in the Bible. I wouldn't have that unless the Bible had gotten a hold of me. In Proverbs 6, Solomon says, keep your father's commandments. And he goes on to say this, when you roam, they will lead you. College students, please, let me tell you, when you roam, all I mean by that is that would you leave all of these, you kid, 11 o'clock's your curfew. You know, you've got these evil parents and all of this other stuff, and you got John and Jen. I don't know, they're nice, but you know what? They got standards too. But would you leave here and you're on the campus? Hey, when all of us, when we go to work or whatever, we grow up, we leave this place. That's why, man, 70% of the students that leave our Assembly of God churches don't come back to church. Okay, forget that. It was just that when you roam, it's going to be there with you. When you sleep, it will keep you. And when you awake, it will speak to you. Man, the Bible's just right there talking to us the whole time if we embrace it. If it's a reference book, if it's a resource, then hey, you know what? Look it up just like an encyclopedia. But if you embrace it, it lives within you. It becomes a part of your anatomy. That's what we're trying to do here. We call this God's Word because it is God's Word. It's God's Word. Guess where He placed it? He placed it in our hands. This is the written revelation of God. This is God's plan for your life. So you know what? If you've got your plans, put it aside. But if you want to know what God wants for your life, then pick it up and look at it and read it and embrace it. But don't just, it's not something to just be stared at. It's not something that's supposed to be just on display. This book is to be obeyed. It's to be obeyed. It is a guide in my life. It is my moral compass. When I leave this place, it goes with me. And I see Bob at Walmart and he's in a bad mood because he's always in a bad mood. I cheer him up because the Bible says, no, I'm just kidding, Bob. No, thank you. I got to get that off my back. But I see Bob, you know what, this tells me the kind of person I'm supposed to be. Doesn't matter where I go. If I'm at the gas station, doesn't matter if I'm having a bad day. You know what, you know, this thing goes with me everywhere I go. And it precedes everything that I do. And if I'm the right person, then it tells me how I should interact with other people. It tells me if somebody's hurting that I need to give them a smile and lift them up. You know what, when I walk into places, and you do too probably, you say hi to strangers. I love being in the hospital because, you know, you got that long haul and everybody's going, oh, great, somebody's coming. You ever had that feeling? And the people pushing the cart is pretty good because they look at their stuff or you grab your phone.
Oh, boy, I got a target on you.
And I don't do it mean or vindictive. I just go, here's an opportunity to say hello. And most of them are used to it. It's just that I don't think that it happens a whole lot. It's a wonderful opportunity. This Bible is what gives me that. It's not the kind of personality I have. It's what this Bible has told me that says, you know what? I need to be uplifted. I got to tell you, this Bible went with me yesterday when we were in the intensive care waiting room. And there was Dorothy Clay, and there was her sister, her daughter Lori, and then there was Bailey Irwin and Missy who was there. And I didn't know, but on the backside of him, Carl's brother had come up from Bunch, Oklahoma, and his family, and there was about 12 of us. And I said, hey, guys, can we pray? They all stood, and we just kind of made this big circle, this huddle and everything. And it was so cool because we began to pray, and I noticed it got quiet. And there were a lot of people in there, and I wasn't praying that loud, but it got quiet. So you know what this Bible told me to say? Pray for everybody else, too. We were praying for Carl Cray, and then my voice got louder, and I said, God, and there are other people in this waiting room, and their loved ones are back there, and we began to pray for that. Man, it was awesome. It was just awesome. And we had the privilege, and this Bible is what did that. And thank God, and hopefully that the rest of my life, it'll go before me. And it's not like this. I don't carry this going, look, I'm pretty spiritual. You know, I don't do that. This book has never told me to do that. But this book is that I've embraced it. It's become a part of me, and it goes everywhere I go. You know that old joke about, you know, the big father said, hey, when you go out on the date, you put that Bible between you and that boy. Because he's going to have to crawl over Matthew, Luke, John, and everybody else to get to you. Well, you know how that goes. Hey, can I just tell you one other thing, please, today? Listen, the debate is over. I don't care if it's King James or NIV or the Living Bible or the Message. I don't care if you look at it on your phone. I don't care if it's on your computer or your iPad, or I don't care even if it's in your hand just like this. Let's embrace this Bible. What if we are doing that kind of like that subconscious New Year's resolution, what are we going to be? This is not about where we are. This is about where we're going. What if this year, this people, you and I as individuals, and then collectively embrace this Bible, what would this year look like? What would we accomplish? Who would you be? What prayers would God answer for you? I mean, because we're all looking and searching. I guarantee you, it sounds so cliche, but it's still the truth. The answer is in here. And I'm sorry, God did not look in the back going, boyfriend, he didn't do that. Wife, he didn't do that. Sell it, buy it. He didn't. It's not in there. But somehow, as you embrace this book, because it's God's word, do you realize we're lucky? It's only been within the last couple of centuries that the commoner, if you will, was able to take God's word and read it for himself and hold it within his hands. So this year, will you please do me a favor and let's join together and let's embrace the Bible. The second thing I want you to do is I'm going to challenge you to please become a person of prayer. This year, we're going to become a person of prayer. What if you did that? Now listen, we're still thinking individually now. What if I became a person of prayer? Now listen, I want to tell you why I pray. Outside of the obvious like needs that we have today. If someone comes up to you and they say, hey, you know, I have a cousin, and that cousin is in ICU, and they don't know whether they're going to live or not. That's a need, and we're going to pray for that. But I'm talking about the reasons why you pray above and beyond needs that come to you. Here's the first reason that I looked at. I searched my heart and I said, you know what? It's because I want to hear from God. He hears from me all the time. God, I need this. God, I'm here. I'm going to tell you what, this broken arm, God's heard an awful lot of reading. You know, he's kind of going, okay, scratch record thing. Okay, I'm just praying for the same thing because I've got this need thing. But if that's the only reason I pray, then that's pretty sad. I want to pray because I want to hear from God. I want to hear what he has to say to me. I want to hear what he has for my heart. Because you know what? God is ready to just unleash on you and I things that are unbelievable. Now, I would call them blessings, but you got to remember, every blessing always comes with a challenge. Well, I'm ready because God has never given me anything that I can't handle. Let me show a couple of scriptures with you. Jeremiah 33:3. I found this for the first time in my grandfather's Bible, and he said, God's phone number. Jeremiah 33:3, it says, call to me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. If I pray somewhere in this year, and it may be start today, God's going to show me things that I didn't even know about. How fabulous is that? How exciting is that? I lumped right in there with Isaiah 65. It shall come to pass that before they call, before I even pick up the phone, if you will, I will answer. And while they're still speaking, I will hear. Wouldn't it be cool if you're in one of those long lines, you know, when you need something? I don't know what it is, you know, but you sit there and you finally get up there to, maybe it's at the bank, you finally get there. And before you even tell them what you want, they give you the answer. I need a loan. You got it. How cool is that? But that's what God is doing here. It's fabulous. The second thing is that prayer changes things. Mostly me. When I pray, and it's okay to pray for the needs. It's okay to pray for that. It's okay to pray for, you know what? Shoot for the moon. Why not? Because God knows how to tell you what's right and what's wrong. It's not wrong for you to ask for God to totally and completely bless you. There's nothing wrong to pray for complete and total health. There's nothing wrong for you to have financial blessings as a part of your prayer. That and many, many, many other things. God knows how to weed all of that out and give you what you need. But the coolest thing about when I pray is that it always changes me. I'm somebody else when I pray. I mean, whether it's private or whether it's public, I am somebody else. You know why? Because I am asking for a conversation with the God of this universe. When you step into the realm of being with the God of this universe, it changes things. I used to call home, and Debbie would know when I'm talking to somebody from Alabama. Because I would start talking in that famous, you know, Alabama accent that I used to have. Today I have a wonderful accent. I can confirm it by my dad. My dad said, you got an accent. It's crazy. But even over the phone, I'm not there with them. It's not, hey, how are you? We're not sitting across the table. I hear somebody hundreds of miles away, and it changed me. And that's what happens when I pray to my God. Let me share a scripture with you. Oh, you know this one well, really, really well. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If, everybody say, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. The only thing I want you to just entertain just for a second is that we get rid of that word if and we insert when. When. When my people who are called by my name. Or can we go a little bit further? I really like this. Let's use the word as. That's an active word. It's happening right now. As my people who are called by my name, if they will humble themselves, when they pray and seek my face, as they turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. That's awesome. Brother Neil, wouldn't it be cool if we just not only had this personal commitment to become a person of prayer, but then it bled over to prayer events like what we do here on Tuesday nights. And we'll talk more about that at the end of the month. But and it's really cool. On Tuesdays, there's these ladies that come. And it's just awesome because sometimes we get carried away at lunch. We're going, oh, we got to get back and open the church for these ladies. And it's awesome. They collect right over here, right behind that wall in the library. And it's usually Patsy Jones and it's Geraldine. Oh, I'm going to miss a couple of them. Sorry. Gene Sloss, Johnny, and the rest of you people. And it's just so cool. They come up and they go back and they pray and they just kind of wander in and out. And it's just, I'm just going, that is just so awesome. It's just fabulous. It changes things, but mostly me. And here's the last thing. I pray because I know what happens when I don't. Absolutely nothing. Who in here would not have someone that today, God forbid, but today, there would be a car accident. There would be a heart attack. There would be a stroke. Someone would be sick for days, like Richard was, and say, let's not pray. You know why they pray? Because they need something to happen. And you know what happens if they don't pray? Nothing. Can I put it this way? I am so convicted by our Lord and God, because when we don't pray, we leave things in man's hands instead of God's hands. God forbid. God forbid that we would leave our children's lives in man's hands. Now, when I say a school, I don't mean evil things, but I'm telling you just the influence of whatever, students. God forbid that I don't pray, because if I don't, then the influence of the men and the women that I coexist with at work, now they're in control of my destiny. I pray because when I don't, nothing happens. If I don't change my eating habits, I will never lose weight. If I don't adjust my schedule, I will not spend more time with my kids. And if I don't pray, nothing happens. I can't even imagine what God wants to do if we would just really become people of prayer. Not people who pray, because y'all know you all pray. Please, this is not a conversation where I think that you need to get off your blessed assurance and become people of prayer. This is a conversation where we need to really embrace prayer and become a person of prayer. Moms and dads, your kids need to see you pray. Whether it's on your knees or not, it's irrelevant. The posture isn't there, but they need to hear you call out to the Lord Jesus Christ. They need to know that whether it's mealtime or whether it's urgent time, and listen, that bedtime stuff, it starts getting a little old around 6 or 7, 8, 9, 10, you know, and kind of a little redundant and just kind of the routine. No, no, no. It needs to become when we call on God. And those cute little rhyme things, there's nothing wrong with it, and you can share it with your kids. But you know what? We need to do something about that and ramp it up. Because when I don't pray, nothing happens. Matthew 21 says this, "And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive." The key to that is ask in prayer. So whatever things you want, good luck. Whatever things you hope for, good luck. But it says, whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. What if, will you do me a favor? Will you just close your eyes just for a second? You know your circumstances. You know the current value you put on reading and embracing your Bible. You right now know what your prayer life is like, whether it's hit or miss, whether it's just about needs, whether it really touches God or not. But I want you with your eyes closed to just let God give you a picture of this question. What if you became a person of prayer? Picturing your friends, your kids, others, seeing you in prayer. And it's so appropriate. And it's so important for that moment. What if this year you embraced the Bible? Literally, let's go to May. Let's go to June. Let's go to August. Let's go into the new school year, September, October. What would we be like if we really embraced the Bible? What would be happening in our hearts at that point? Man, see the change. Embrace what God could do. And that's what we need to do. Hey, listen, you can open your eyes because I need to tell you this much. Listen, here's what happens. If we don't change, then we're always going to be in maintenance mode. God forbid we be a church that when a need comes in, we go, oh, okay, we'll put it on the prayer list, we'll pray for it, we'll put it on the prayer chain, we go through the routine of what we're supposed to do, we gave it due diligence and left it right there. That's maintenance. We need to go from maintenance to progress. And you can only do that through prayer. If there's a problem looming over you, it could be financial, it could be physical. You may be wondering, what do I do with my life? Where am I supposed to go? I promise you, if you become this person of prayer, you're going to begin seeing yourself going in a direction that the Holy Spirit's leading. You're going to see doors begin to open. You're going to see financial resources coming to you. And I'm not a prosperity preacher, but I just know the Word of God, and God has promised He'd never leave us, never forsake us, and He's going to take care of us. Here's the other thing we have to understand. This isn't important. It's imperative. It's not just something, put it on your priority list. It's imperative. If we don't do it, we die. Not physically, but we die. So let's do it. Now here's where I'm really going to put the monkey on your back. I'm going to ask that the men of this church lead this charge. I'm going to ask that you be the front runner. You be the guy out front. You be the one that tells your children, we're going to pray, or I'm going to share a verse of Scripture with you. You be the one that says, we're going to church today. You be the one that says, I want you to be a good person today. You be the one that when you go to work, people see that you're the one of integrity, and you have character, and you have something that they don't see. And this isn't a jealousy factor. It's just that they need to see Jesus in you. And if you embrace the Bible, and if we become people of prayer, I promise you that's going to happen. And here's the challenge. I'm going to ask every man who's willing to accept that challenge. And this isn't a challenge for me. It's a challenge from God. Because regardless of how much I read the Bible and embrace it, regardless of how much I pray, God's saying, hey, that's not enough. That's not enough. And it's not about that I'm not giving Him enough. There's more that He wants to do in that setting. It's not about doubling that time. It's not about I read the Bible 5 minutes, so I have to go of 10. No, it's not about adjustment. It's about quality in that moment. It's about literally embracing it versus reading it. It's about becoming a person of prayer instead of a person going through prayer. Every man that would accept that challenge, please stand to your feet. Regardless of your age. Regardless of your age. I understand without a doubt that this is one of those peer pressure things. I understand that if you're not standing, you know, how can you not? There are all these people, you know. But if you're willing to accept this as a man, and I mean whatever age you are, young man, high school student, whatever, guys, this year, and I hate to put it in the year factor, but you know what? This is the first sermon I ever get to preach of 2014. This year, we got to step it up. And we've got to step out. And our voices have to be heard. And our faces have to be seen. And our bodies have to be present. And there has to be a physical circumstance that equates with the spiritual. We can't sit back and just let our family be okay because we got certain things in place. It's got to be that we lead there. And with your help, and with these young ladies and these other ladies, we're going to do it together. And in just a minute, they're going to join us. But this year, if we become men who embrace the Bible, and we become men who are persons of prayer, we're going to see dynamic things happen. And guess where it's going to start? It's going to start in you. Every time something like this happens, you're going, I'll do this for the preacher. Get that out of your head. This is for you. I'm standing for me. I need things to happen in my life. And that's why I'm standing. Ladies, join us. Father, I pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, there are some here that we needed to hear this today. We needed to hear that the Bible has validity. We needed to hear that God still cares. We needed to hear that prayer still works. And Father, as we embrace this Bible, we hear this loud and clear, that He has a place for us. And if there's anybody in here that you don't know the Lord God, you know what? If you've never asked Him to be your Lord and Savior, maybe you've drifted a long way from Him, and today is your day to come home. You know what it tells me in this Bible? That He will forgive you and He will love you. All you need to do is pray that prayer that you already know. And if there's somebody in here today that just needs to know that God still loves them, that there is still a bright future for you, it's in that book as well. He says, I've got a hope for you. I've got a future for you. It's all planned out. And I just thank you, oh God, for these men and women. Now, Lord, will you dismiss us today in a sense of anticipation. We will be excited about whatever God has for us. And Lord, we can't wait to embrace that Bible once again, and we can't wait to be a person of prayer in the sense that you've called us today. Lord, I thank you for each person in this sanctuary, for their lives and what they stand for, and I pray that you will bless them for receiving and accepting the challenge that you have given us today. In Jesus' name, and before you're dismissed, I would like to just read this out of Jude. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling. Pretty cool verse, isn't it? To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless. Isn't that the coolest feeling in the world when you know you're not guilty? Before the presence of his glory and exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. God bless you for being here today. If at all possible, join us tonight at 6 o'clock and get your Bible, embrace it, and find some knee pads and hit them. Amen. Now fellowship between one another and be dismissed.